listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We got an action-packed Friday for you. The biggest college basketball game of the season. We're going to have picks on it. End of the show, end of the hour. Also, there's a referee in the Super Bowl who is a perfect 7-0 for one of these teams. Yes, it could mean something. In studio, the pros who know, Steve Fezzik, NFL expert, Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. First, though, Jonas off today, resting up for the trip to Atlanta. You know, bottom of the hour, we're going to do a Pro Bowl pick preview. And I would make the following case. Professionals have made a stronger statement about liking this Pro Bowl than any game during the playoffs. I would say the disproportionate money on this Pro Bowl, where the biggest bettors are saying, we know the winner more than any game in the playoffs. Now, that's intriguing. But first, the story, I think, that should be discussed so much more, and it's not being discussed. Todd Gurley. Now, Todd Gurley has the biggest contract on the Rams. Right? I mean, his contract was even bigger than Donald, right? I think it's in the range, but, and it doesn't matter as much as this is most certainly one of the key players for the Rams. You would make the case, if we were talking Rams key players, Donald, it's going to be Gurley, it's going to be Goff. You agree with that, Fez?
I would have said Gurley, number one, $15 million a year.
Okay. Now, the idea that a Super Bowl team has one of their top players, a player they're paying tens of millions of dollars a year for, inexplicably, it's unknowing how in the heck he's doing what he's doing so poorly, how he's so underperforming compared to not that long ago. So, Fez, we went into the numbers. So the first question is going to be just how much is Gurley underperforming? And the second question is going to be, why? And the third question is going to be, how in the heck isn't there a clear answer to the why and no one seems to be talking about it? So let's quantify it. Gurley, midseason, Rams are rocking and rolling. How many yards a game was he rushing for?
Gurley was rushing for just under 100 yards on average per game.
Okay, so a typical game against an average defense, the over-under yardage for Gurley?
98
yards. Okay, as good as anyone pretty much in the NFL. Key back. Now, something happened. It seemed obvious at first what it was. Gurley got hurt, was on the injury report, missed some games. And when he did play, didn't rush for near as many yards as he typically would. So, Fez, even entering the playoffs, what was your handicap assessment of Gurley's status?
Oh, I was worried about him. I did not think that he was right. He didn't play week 16 and 17. Frankly, he wasn't the same since that Kansas City game, that 54-51 epic game. And I had major concerns about his health going into the playoffs.
And that makes sense. If you miss some games, you're going to be concerned about his health. But then come playoffs, what did the injury report tell us about Gurley's health?
Said Gurley was fine suddenly.
100%.
Yep.
Because literally probable means, you got a little something. Right? There's doubtful, questionable, probable. They're saying nothing to see here. And how has he done in the playoffs?
Interesting, RJ. The first game, he rushed for 115 yards. He looked good. But C.J. Anderson, just off the couch, just signed with the Rams, had 7 more carries than Gurley. So kind of a misleading data point.
So this is against the Cowboys.
Yes.
Correct? And you're saying, hey, if you just look at the number of yards, looks pretty good. But then the idea that, well, C.J. Anderson's getting more rushes, as you said, just off the couch. Couch potato, we mean, right? So, but then you could say, wait a minute. You know, McVay's so smart. He knew they had the Cowboys. And you could rationalize, that kind of, Dallas has some fast linebackers. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with all this, but Anderson maybe is going to be more effective. Why put extra rush yards or rush attempts on Gurley's legs? Maybe he's not quite 100%. There was a lot of, but going into the Saints game, there was every reason to be optimistic.
Yes.
Right? Because he's not on the injury report, Gurley, and he just had 100 plus yards. And it looked like it was by choice that he didn't get more carries.
And yes, and the eye test, he looked fast. He looked like he was ready to go.
So if you had dropped in out of the sky, hadn't seen anything this season, but you knew the NFL, you look at Gurley running in that Dallas game, you'd say, wow, one of the best backs in the league.
Yes.
So entering the Saints game, not on the injury report, so in theory, nothing to change that pristine state, that effective state that Gurley was in against the Cowboys, and what happened?
He barely saw the ball. He had 4 rushes for 10 yards, and the off-the-couch guy, C.J. Anderson, had 16 rushes, and C.J. Anderson was ineffective in the game, and yet Gurley still only got 4 carries.
A game in which they went to overtime, thus it wasn't like, we're holding back. So really what we're saying is an amazing, great season up to a certain point. From there, it looked like it was a physical ailment. And thus, he was limited in the games he played. He missed some games. That all makes sense. Entering the playoffs, he was physically 100%. At least that's what was reported. Looked pretty good against the Cowboys, Gurley did. But boy, he didn't carry the ball as much as you might think. But there was some rationale. And then, for reasons unexplained, Gurley looks like, boy, that guy might not make the team next year. Like, if you didn't know that was Gurley, you changed his number, you would have thought, well, he must have just came off the practice squad.
Exactly. He had 2 drops in this game, one of them resulting in an interception that are the sort of drops that get you cut if you are a replacement-level player.
So here's my question. Coast to coast, I'm asking, what the heck is going on? If it's not physical, it's emotional / mental / what? It'd be one thing if he carried the ball 28 times for 50 yards and you could say, man, maybe he's tired, maybe he's this, who knows if he has the flu. He didn't even use them. It doesn't make any... Imagine if it were a basketball game and the Lakers were in the playoffs this year and LeBron literally... Hardly, he plays like 6 minutes in the entire game. Wouldn't that be like all anyone's talking? But he's not on the injury report. Like, that almost seems like incomprehensible, right?
Yeah, we're in uncharted territory here where we get a player of this magnitude, this great, that suddenly is not even being utilized.
I agree. And I think that's a great way to say it. So to me, kind of running down what we wanted to explore here, is one, Gurley is being looked at Vegas style. Let's look at it objectively with skepticism. So we said the average midseason high-performing over-under rush yards for Gurley, 98 yards. Brad, this opened up here in Vegas at 68 yards. And then what happened?
The Sharps last night bet it down to 60.
Under, went down to in the 60 range. So think about it, guys. Typically, Gurley 98. Vegas today saying Gurley 60 for the Super Bowl. Almost a 40% decrease is expected in production. And there's no rational reason for it. I don't know why it's not being discussed, but it's being discussed right here, straight out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell. All right, let's do a little conspiracy theory. I have fun with them. I can't lie. So, referee Vinovich entering the conference finals, so last week, he was 0-8, or specifically the Rams, in games that Vinovich refereed, 0-8, didn't win a game. So people were talking about it. Does this mean something? Should we be betting against the Rams because of Vinovich? So Fez, with an 0-8 straight up stat like that, when it's a referee, where in theory there's not going to be a great connection, how do you approach it?
I tend to dismiss it and just assume that, you know, you run enough queries, RJ, you're going to come up with 7-0s and 8-0s.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I would advise this weekend. Sit in a room and flip a coin, heads or tails, 5,000 times. And don't do anything else. And write down heads, tails, tails, heads. You're going to have a lot of runs of 8 in a row, right? Okay, I hear you. Now, what I would say, though, is what's happened since really shows you that no matter what, if there's a streak, people will find a way to say, see, see. So what would you think? You would think if the Rams had lost, all the Vinovich is going to affect the game crowd would have said, see, 9-0, 9-0.
Vinovich hates the Rams.
Right? But somehow, not only did the Rams win, the Rams benefited from one of the most egregious calls. Like, if you would think, I suspect Vinovich is in the tank for the Rams, that, now again, he wasn't the one that made the call, but it was his team, you would say, wow, there's proof. There's proof. We're not saying that, but instead of people saying, huh, I guess it really wasn't anything, this is what they're saying. Here's the craziness. Oh, Vinovich heard all the conversation about hating the Rams. He figured, I got to hide the fact I hate the Rams, so I'm going to make a makeup call that looks like I'm pro-Rams to stop this conversation. So literally nothing that could have happened in this Rams-Saints games would have got the street guys off it. Because if they would have, Vinovich would have went to 0-9 with the Rams, it would have been C. He goes the other way in an extreme case, and everyone's like, see, makeup call. It's tough. You got to be discerning out there if you want to live your life or bet your money.
So you can make the case that Vinovich hated the Rams during his career. Well, the opposite is happening in the Super Bowl. The referee, John Perry, the data says he loves the Rams. 7 games that he's been the referee, 7 times the Rams have won.
7-0 straight up, you're saying?
Yes.
For Perry. Now, here's a great macro tip. Whenever you have a small sample size in sports betting, 7-0, 8-0, even 10-2, you want to find something that can give you more discernment, that you can have more detail on. So all wins aren't created equal. If we dig into this 7-0 and find out, wow, the average margin of victory for the Rams was like 10 or 12 points, like much more than it typically would be, you might say, wow, that's even more meaningful. And if we found out they won 3 coin flip games of the 7, we would think less of it. Would you agree with that, Fez?
I do. The more points you've got per game that's happening, the more significant.
Yeah, the more extreme the results are beyond the wins and the losses, the more meaningful small sample sizes are. So what we're going to do is over the weekend, we'll research these games, and on Monday's show, we'll break down Perry, the 7-0 straight up. What is it against the spread? And also, how many ATS, what was the against the spread margin? By how many points did the Rams cover or not cover?
Yeah, you talk sample sizes, even a smaller sample size. Perry's crew did 1 New England game this year. It just so happened to be the Pittsburgh game. New England lost, and more importantly, New England had a season high 14 penalties in that game.
Well, maybe not. But that is interesting. 1 game, most penalties for the Pats, for Perry, who's the ref in the Super Bowl. And oh, by the way, 7-0 for the Rams' benefit. When we come back, you're going to get more amazing information like that. I could tell you what it's going to be, but I'll just say more of the same. We're straight out of Vegas.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas. In just a minute, we're going to tell you exactly how to bet this Super Bowl if you like a team already. We're going to tell you when to bet, and it's not open for debate. Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now, it's 62 degrees on the strip. Neon is chugging along. Fez, the props, you love them. I personally believe, and I say this sincerely, when I say this, I'm putting my own brand at stake. So you know how much I believe it. I believe you are the best prop player in the NFL in the world. What do you think?
Well, I don't know anyone who's better.
It would have been better if he would have said, well, I can't necessarily say that, but what I know for sure is I don't know anyone better. That would have been pretty good. And guys, it's really, really true. And it's not just because of this.
In all the five boroughs, I'm known. I'm known all over the f-ing world.
Two super contests, but how you handicap is perfectly suited for these prop bets. So what's a prop? I'm sure almost all of you, even the non-bettors out there, know. It's things like over-under yards for Tom Brady, over-under yards rushing for Gurley, more scoring in the first quarter or the third quarter. And literally, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. A lot of them released last night here in Vegas. Here's my first question, Fez. This is a historic year for offenses. As you look at the yardage numbers, Brady over under, that kind of stuff, is your sense that, oh, they're trying hard to keep up with the additional offense, the very efficient offenses, and they're doing a fine job? Or do you feel like, man, they know the public likes to bet overs anyway, and they've gone crazy with some high numbers, which means opportunity on the unders?
Yeah, they've gone a little bit crazy. And you look at the total yards being dealt for this game. I don't think I've ever seen this. Over 800 yards projected, and you can bet on this, total yards gained in the Super Bowl.
Total yards gained. Okay, so the over-under for yardage, both teams combined in the Super Bowl, it's 800 exactly?
Well, I've seen 805. I've seen 811. So
do you happen to remember the Kansas City Rams Monday night game, what the number was?
I did not see a prop on that game.
Okay. Now, we're going to be talking in a few minutes or about 10 minutes about the Pro Bowl, and there's some interesting stuff going on there, but probably the most shocking, maybe the thing we could have got the best odds on, if I would have proposed the following to the Wise Guy Roundtable right here, let's say back in September. Guys, I want to bet you even money that the Super Bowl over-under points is going to be higher than the Pro Bowl over-under points. I'm guessing you would have bet me pretty big, Fez. What do you think?
I would have bet you this year, but if you would have asked this 4 years ago, I would have bet my house that the Pro Bowl would be higher.
But you're saying this year?
The Pro Bowl, because this year what happened is that the Pro Bowl has had some major changes in the last couple of years.
But you would have said, if I would have asked you before the season, what's the odds that the Super Bowl has a higher total than the Pro Bowl? What would you have put the odds at?
I would have made the Pro Bowl the favorite to have more points on their total, but only by a little bit.
Really?
Yes.
Boy.
I would have thought at least 5-1.
You know, what makes what Fezzik's saying just so plain wrong? I mean, we could kind of act like that, it's a matter of debate. No. It's plain wrong. What did the Pro Bowl, what did the total open up at?
60.
Okay. And what did the Super Bowl total open up at?
At 58.
Okay. And if you said of all the teams that could have made the Super Bowl, this is like a top 5% offensive juggernauts.
Yeah, Kansas City.
These are two of the four highest points games. There's no debate here. You're supposed to just answer yes.
Yes.
You're right, RJ.
Yes, you're right, RJ. The Bears would have been a lot lower.
So wait a minute. So it's like almost like you drew to an inside straight to get these two teams. There's nothing about the Pro Bowl that's making you think, oh, it'd be higher inflated total than we would expect. And still the Pro Bowl opened up higher. But you're saying, oh, it was 52%.
I don't think we drew to an inside straight.
Two of the four teams.
This total's been up on the Super Bowl for months, and it's been around 50. 68, RJ.
Well, yeah, because it's all the teams that were that come the second half of the season with the best chances to make the Super Bowl, only the Bears were a defensive-focused team.
Fair enough.
So if we could have predicted before the season this was going to be one of the or the historic year of offense, maybe you're right. But who could have predicted that?
We couldn't.
So let's agree you were just playing wrong.
I agree.
That you were wrong.
I was mistaken.
I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We're with Fezzik, who was playing wrong just a second ago. Okay. Now, the opening number comes out for the props, and then the betting happens. So the odds makers get their opinion, but then the bettors get to say, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And if they are lopsided enough, it will go up or down. We talked about it in the last segment. Gurley opened up 68 yards over under rushing, got bet under. Now it's down to about 60 yards rushing for Gurley. Very different than the 98 yards he averaged through a majority of the season. A lot of skepticism. Brad, you follow the moves and such. What were you seeing when it comes to not the openers on the props, but the line moves?
A lot of anti-Rams bets were made last night. So not only Gurley coming down in rush yards, but a lot of the players, Goff's numbers came down. Some of the other receivers came down. A lot of anti-Rams bets were made last night.
And here's the thing, and this is a great segue into how to bet the Super Bowl. Straight out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell. Now, whenever there's a sophisticated question, usually the answer is, it depends. If you're a poker fan and you listen to the best poker players on podcasts, if you have aces in this spot, you're re-raised by queens, 120 big blinds deep, what do you do? It depends. I mean, that's like the only answer you get. And it's not great audio, it's not entertaining, but it's true. And sports betting's the same way, except we have a situation here in this Super Bowl where we can tell you when to bet it based on who you like, and there's really no debate. So, Fez, first let's talk about the line move. Game opened up. Patriots actually a one-point underdog in the game. You gobbled up some of that. Congratulations. Then it was Pat's money, Pat's money, Pat's money. Just for the first couple hours, got up to 2.5 pretty quickly, and that's where it stayed. What are you seeing? Looking at the market right now, you seeing what, 2.5, leaning towards 3? What are you seeing?
I would call the market 2.6, RJ. Almost everyone's dealing 2.5, but the places that aren't are charging a little bit extra juice to bet on the Patriots minus 2.5, laying minus $1.20 at a few spots.
So this is how Fezzik does it. I like this approach. 2.5 is, hey, it's 2.5. 3 is, it's 3. If it's in between, hey, it's 2.6, which means it's closer to 2.5, but moving in between. Now, we have a dispute, also called a bet, on where this game ends up. So you make your prediction, I'll make mine, but we've already bet this on air. Where do you think this game ends up at kickoff, the point spread?
It closes right where it's at right now. Patriots, a 2.5-point favorite.
Okay. I'm a huge believer that the Well, let me ask you this. There's the bookmaking line, and there's the bettor's line. The bookmaking line is, I want to split the action. That's what a bookmaker wants to do. A bettor wants to split the result. In your opinion, what is the handicapping line for this game, the bettor's line? What splits the result?
I think New England minus 2 is a really good
50-50. So that's 50-50. Crazy. Let me ask you a question. What was your vaunted power ratings that we always talk about, how great they are? What was your power ratings entering, let's say, a week ago, just randomly, on these two teams?
Had them equal.
And somehow now you've downgraded the Rams drastically, I guess.
No, upgraded the Rams.
Okay.
Slightly.
And you upgraded the Patriots.
Even more, yes.
But somehow you think Pick'em should go to 2.
I do, because of experience.
But isn't experience building your power ratings?
Not at all. Our power ratings are just how good you're going to be on any one week. Experience in the Super Bowl, playoff experience.
Oh, okay,
yes.
Okay. And how many points is that worth?
I figure it to be worth 1 to 1.5 points. Having been to so many Super Bowls and going through the media circus, I do think it's worth at least a point, possibly just a little bit more.
All right, so let's agree with you and say that the handicapper's line split in the action is going to be, should be 2, 2.5. Now, if you look at who's going to bet the Super Bowl come the weekend, next weekend, literally it's people that often don't bet any other football game all year, or maybe a few football games, or maybe they bet every week, but they bet double or triple as big on the Super Bowl, right? A lot of ways that there's a reason this is the biggest bet game and it's not even close, right? The Super Bowl. Would you say that crowd, the marginal additional action that wouldn't be betting a typical NFL week 12, what do you think the betting split's going to be for them?
Probably 80% on the Patriots.
All right. So far, we've had more professional action. Not a lot of amateurs are betting a week plus ahead. The professionals bet this baby up to the line you're saying, pretty much, is the true handicapper split the result line. And now it's like, okay, it's like imagine you have a movie theater and you have half the people in the art house movie, you know, with the French subtitles, and half are seeing like some talking dog or something, right? But somehow it was only the PhD students were allowed into the movie theater first, and it's 50-50. Because even the PhD kids like the talking dog, some of them. But then you've got like the kids from the technical school with the tattoos and the whole thing going on, and they rush into the theater. What theater do you think is going to fill up? Right?
Talking dog.
So now aren't we, we're letting the talking dog crowd into bet come next weekend, and you don't think they're going to be betting the Pats even more than the pros like you?
It's a great question.
No, it's a great point.
It's a great point. And the real question is, how much are these MIT tech heads going to be willing to bet on the Rams when it does hit three?
All right, but you do believe, and here's the way, here's the super actionable advice. If you like the Patriots, even if you agree with Fez some crazy way, let's say you're half listening, your kids are distracting you, and you agree with Fez, you didn't really think it through. In that case, you still bet the Pats. Why? Because the odds of this line going down, I think, are pretty slim. And even if it does go down, Patriots say 2.5 to 2. Two's not that valuable of a number. In the NFL, 3 is the most valuable number. So you're risking having to lay 3 with the Pats. If you wait, why not just lay 2.5 now? Because you're risking way too much to wait. The flip side is, if you like the Rams, wait. Worst thing is you take +2, right? Less than now, but it's no big deal. And there's a real chance at some time in the next week, you're going to get a 3. And oh, by the way, as we said, 3 is the most valuable. And if you see a 3 minus 110 at any point, grab it. Don't wait. Don't look around. Grab it, because you're probably not going to get better than that.
I agree strongly with that very sage advice.
And listen, guys, we know betting like a pro isn't easy. And sometimes it takes a full-time job. What we try to do very hard, we make a strong effort, is make it easy for you to bet like a sharp as much as possible. And here's an example of it to repeat. You like the Pats, lay the 2.5 now. If you like the Rams, wait. If you see a 3, grab it, +3, -110. And come game day, if you don't see a 3, wait till a half hour before game time and bet the best number. That is the way a professional is going to do it. In just 1 minute, we're going to tell you how the pros are betting the Pro Bowl heavier than anything in the Super Bowl right now, if you can imagine that. They like it that much. First, we have Isaac with an update.
Thank you so much. We begin in the NFL, where multiple outlets report that the league fined Rams cornerback Nickell Robey-Coleman $26,739 for his helmet-to-helmet hit on the Saints' Tommy Lee Lewis that resulted in the already infamous NOLA no call. NFL media reports Robey-Coleman will appeal the fine. I'm sure that'll go over well in New Orleans. Anyway, Colts GM Chris Ballard told WFNI Radio out of Indianapolis today that future Hall of Fame place kicker Adam Vinatieri will return next year for a 24th season of the NFL at the age of 46. The NBA today suspended Denver Stars center Nikola Jokic 1 game for leaving the bench during an altercation against the Jazz on Wednesday. Afterwards, Jokic had a priceless quote, "I was not on the court. I mean, I cannot step. I was not even close. I did not do nothing." Unquote. Finally, in golf, in the second round of the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines, Justin Rose has a 3-shot lead at 15 under par overall. Tiger Woods, 11 shots back at 4 under par overall with a 2 under 70 today for the second straight day. Back to you.
Thank you, Isaac. We are straight out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell. Jonas resting up for the Super Bowl next week. We're there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And every one of those days, we're going to give a best bet prop. 3 from Fezzik, 1 from me, 1 from Brad. I'm RJ Bell. Okay, let's talk Pro Bowl. Fez, the amount of action on the under. I mean, how often in a season, if it's not injury-based, if it's not weather-based, and Brad, pull it up there. What was the Fez said 60. I think it was even higher. Up at pregame.com, what was the opener?
64 and a half.
That's interesting. Boy, you just are the, you really are the dirtiest player in the game. I mean, you, like the point, if it was 64, it would have been such the better number for my position in our debate. And instead I say, I should trust Fezzik, you know? I mean, look at him. He looks kind of like Opie a little bit from Mayberry. He's got to be trustworthy. But what I should have remembered for sure.
I'm the dirtiest player in the game.
Right, Fez?
That's true. But
did you know it was 64? It was just an accident.
No,
you know what's funny? You never seem to make those accidents. Like with bookies will make in a 52-week year, let's say you're settling up with a street guy, they probably make 12 mistakes a year. All 12 are always to your disfavor. They're always against you. How often does the bookie hand you 4,700 when they're supposed to hand you 4,400, Fez?
Well, I wouldn't report any of those.
But how often does it happen? Not often.
Not often.
And how often does it go against you? Oh, wait, you had the underdog in that game? Really?
It's true. All the time when you're checking your game's being graded, it's amazing how often they misgrade a winner into a loser, those dastardly bookies.
But somehow that's how you are also.
If you overpay me when I play blackjack, no. Just look the other way. I don't want to get the dealer in trouble.
So, Brad, the actual number, it opened at 64, the over-under for the Pro Bowl. And what's the current number?
55.
How often, if it's not a huge injury or weather, do you see an NFL total move 9 points?
Never.
So what does that tell us? Now, up at pregame.com, you can actually see the cash from our sources bet on all the games, and you can see the percentage of cash on each of the teams. Pregame.com, just click the game center. So, Brad, how much money with our sources is bet right now on the Pro Bowl?
Not much, only 11,000.
Wow, that's interesting. So, I predict, though, that come Saturday, it's the old, I always tell the joke, I do about a 10 radio hits every week all year, different shows and such. And the week of July 4th, I'm always spending about 6 minutes talking about Nathan's hot dog eating contest, because bettors will bet the biggest event no matter what. My feeling is Saturday, we're going to see
10 times that.
Yeah, we're going to see a ton of action. But boy, the opinion on that under is gigantic. Fez, I know you said entering the year, they're making some changes, all this. But obviously, the odds makers knew that too, and they came in 9 points too high, specifically with the total. What do you think's going on?
I think the odds makers missed a few things. Back in 2015, there were rules changes, including that the game clock runs after incomplete passes. Also, they went ahead and
changed. So this is in the Pro Bowl?
In the Pro Bowl, starting in 2015. So as it turns out, there was a couple other rules changes, but in the last 4 years, the average number of points scored in the Pro Bowl has only been 54 points, and the scoring was closer to 100 prior to 2015.
That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now, I often get kind of judgmentally people saying, wait a minute, you can bet on the Pro Bowl? And then I just look at them, and I blink like 3 times silently, and I say, you can bet on WrestleMania. All right? So don't be questioning what you can bet on. You can bet on anything with an uncertain outcome if there's enough interest.
Yes, and what's happened with the Pro Bowl is there wasn't very much interest when the game was in Hawaii because it was kind of a joke and an exhibition, and they're thinking about doing away with it. They moved it to Oregon.
I don't think they were ever thinking about doing away with it.
No, there was discussion.
But with who? You and your buddies at the bar?
No, I read about it, but they moved it to Orlando.
A mysterious blog post.
Yeah. And since the last 2 years it's been in Orlando, the average number of points scored the last 2 years in this location, only 40 points.
Oh, so more seriousness on defense.
Yes.
All right, so not only do we know you can bet the Pro Bowl, coming up in just a few minutes, Fezzik is going to give you a pick on the Pro Bowl. Also, maybe the biggest college basketball game, certainly of the week, I think the last couple weeks, we're going to have a pick on that also. I'm RJ Bell. We're straight out of Vegas.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas. Last segment, that means picks, picks, picks. Jonas resting up for the Super Bowl next week. We're there the entire week. Fox Sports Radio representing. Okay, Fez, you're going to be there, but you've got a pick on the Pro Bowl. Now, let me ask you a question first. Is there a perversity to it? Do you enjoy the idea that there is a perversity to, I'm betting on a game these players don't really care all that much about?
I'd say it's the opposite. It's like betting preseason football. There's better opportunities from games that players don't care about.
I can't lie myself. When I have bets on something that most people would find like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you bet that, I look at it almost as a badge of honor that I'm that degenerate.
Betting
now, I only bet when I think I've got an edge, but if I got an edge, I'll bet on anything.
Yeah, betting on Joey Chestnut when you've got the advantage for the hot dog eating contest, it's a great thing.
All right, so Pro Bowl pick.
Pro Bowl pick, we're going to go under the 55. RJ, I spoke about the rules changing back in 2015, and since then, the average number of points scored.
So let's recap those then. So the theory is there's been some rules changes, so if you're just looking at it quickly from a distance, you're going to say, oh, look at all the scoring, but recently there's been less, but hey, if you blend it all together, boy, there should be a lot of scoring. You're saying these rules changes are major fundamental differences. What's the major rule changer to?
The number one reason is the clock runs after an incomplete pass.
Say that one more time.
The clock runs after an incomplete pass and after the ball
is
spotted.
See how easy that was?
Yes.
All right. So the clock keeps running.
Yes.
Any other major ones?
Yeah, the defense used to have to play only man-to-man coverage, and now they can do press coverage and they can play cover too.
And how many years has this, the new rules, been?
4 years.
Okay, and it'll be interesting, what does those 4 years tell us about the total points in the Pro Bowl?
In those 4 years, the average number of points scored, 54 points.
And what's the total here?
55.
Okay, now that's not your value, is it?
Looks razor thin.
Yes.
The value is the weather. 90% chance of rain, could be heavy rain, and 15-mile-an-hour winds. And I think also with the weather like that, the intangible of, hey, these guys are really, really great players. The last thing you want is a key injury that occurs in the Pro Bowl on a sloppy field. I think everyone gets even a little more careful and even more likely that there will be less scoring.
Yeah. So business decisions.
Yes.
Makes sense. All right. Now here's the counter. We're talking to Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Pro Bowl pick. Yes. Under from Fezzik. You're betting it.
I bet it.
You bet it. But that's the question. This baby opened at, by objective fact, at 64. It's down to 55. I know some pro bettors that will never even take the worst number, even if it's a half point. If anywhere in the world they could have bet the game at any time at a better number, they don't bet it. Because it's so hard to beat the bookie. You can't beat the bookie getting the second number, the third number. You're taking the 18th number. There's been 9 points moved. There's 18 ticks down. That seems so square to me. Make your case.
Yeah, and the case is it's okay to take the 18th number when you feel like it's going to be the 18th.
we should have that as a drop.
When it will be the 18th of 23 numbers, because I think that this total is going to keep on tumbling down. And you know what? I hate that I don't have under 64, but if I play under 55 on a game I expect to close 52.5, there's still value.
And the theory is that if the market closes in the direction of your pick, you're on the right side, because ultimately the market at the end especially is super predictive of what the truth should be.
Correct.
Okay. So, but let's be honest. One last thing about this. It's very rare that any line could be this far off, but the Pro Bowl is such a different animal. If it was a regular season game in the NFL, you wouldn't bet a total even if it's moved 3 points.
Only if there was a blizzard with height.
Yeah, if there was reason right. for it to move. So, guys, don't try this at home. Special occasion. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Brad, we've got one of the biggest college basketball games of the year. You've got a pick on it.
I do, and tomorrow, Kansas at Kentucky. I like Kentucky minus six. I will bet Kentucky minus six. Number one factor for me, Kentucky is playing their best basketball of the season, and I don't think it's just some random occurrence. Makes a lot of sense to me. Why? Kentucky starting lineup, three freshmen, a sophomore, a grad transfer, so it makes perfect sense that it took Kentucky 10 or 12 games to integrate, to start to get used to playing with one another. And this is in Rupp Arena, where they have dominated Kentucky under John Calipari. They've won 94% of the time straight up, and when they're laying nine or less, like they are in this game, they have covered 60% of the time the last 10 years at home. Take Kentucky minus six.
You like it?
Like it.
Dave Esler, another pregame pro, he's talking about a few things in his write-up. Free throw shooting since SEC play started, 76% for Kentucky, a team usually not great with those kind of detail-oriented things. Also, no look ahead. They play Vanderbilt Tuesday. This will be Kentucky's focus. Also, a team that's trending, a young team, a team with key transfer, right? Yep. The trend line is towards Kentucky. Esler leans and agrees with you on Kentucky. Listen, we told you the odds. Up next, it's the odd couple. I'm RJ Bell.